Yeah, we could put, you could put the chair up for one of them. Yeah, you'd have a good time. All right. Yeah, please pardon me, but this is an exceptional day for me, and to have this reunion is just wonderful. It's just really, really great, and can't thank y'all enough for coming. It's just wonderful. I was thinking back, how many years ago was that? That was, my Lord, that was 80, when I met y'all, around 80 somewhere? 81, okay, yeah. Go back a long ways. I was a little trimmer then. I try to stay as trim as I can, but I was a little trimmer then. They weighed me at the VA the other day, and I weighed 211. I said, is that good? They said, that's wonderful. You know, I said, most of the guys we got up here in this unit, they're carrying their stomach around like that in their hand, and, you know, to hold it up. So I felt better. She said, you're one of the youngest patients we have in that clinic, in the gym clinic. That's geriatric management where they have me. Yes. I'm in the last clinic you go to in the VA in Kerrville. They said, you know, the next clinic is up there. So this is your, they all graduate from Blue, Gold, and I've told you all that before. But, and then the gym clinic, and that really is geriatric management, and I'm one of their youngest patients, but that's where I am now. And so it feels good to be one of the youngest. It's nice to be in an organization where you're one of the youngest, isn't it? It's like, you know, I'm just a junior up there. So today we're going to talk about the new you and what God wants for us, and leaving behind some stuff and moving on and enjoying life the way He wants you to enjoy it. It's in Ephesians 4. It's not something new, these passages. We you've read them. We know them. You've heard them preached on various times and places. I've hit on this somewhere back in the past. But still, that's where the Lord leads. And in this New Testament run that we're having here, all of a sudden, I thought I was going to go back and hit another passage, but I wanted to hit some more in Romans, but just like the Lord put on my heart, no, somebody here is misbehaving, whoever you are. Could be Buckaloo. I don't want to watch one. And so anyway, so whoever it is, you know, God wants you to know you're a new you, and you don't have to be controlled by the old you. You don't have to be run over by your past. You don't have to be conquered by who you were. So let's just read this, and I'll get into those notes. And I'm using a smaller notebook now, as I mentioned before. I can't extend my arm yet far enough to write on a regular notebook. And I have to slide this kind of under this to take my notes. And so I had to get a little smaller notebook, which works out for you. There's less notes in this notebook. So that serves to your benefit in the long run there. So Ephesians 4, begin verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. He said, I insist on it. That's an imperative. I don't want you living like the other people do. And a lot of Christians have trouble with that. They always have. And certainly in our day and time, and I have younger Christians tell me, I want to get along with everybody else. My friends will criticize me, my, you know, peer group and so forth. They're gonna run over me because I'm not doing what they do. And yet I cannot change God's word and don't want to. And God won't change His word no matter what your age or how much you want to be accepted by your peers. God says, regardless of age or experience or whatever else you have, you can't live like everybody else lives. That's just it. God expects us to be different. And you know by being different, you'll take a hit or two. You just got to learn to roll with it. If you're going to serve God, you're going to take a hit. I don't know why pastors don't tell people this more often. We paint these, it's too easy to just take a brush and just paint this beautiful little portrait of Christianity. And what we need to point out is inside that beauty, there's the fiery darts of the enemy. And that's why in Ephesians 6, it tells us to put on the full armor of God. And held up the shield of faith so we can deflect those fiery darts. And there's warfare. We're in spiritual warfare. It's there all the time. And so here we are, and he says, I insist on it, that you no longer live in, as the Gentiles do. And he says, in the futility of their thinking. He says, they're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. He's sure hardcore. Isn't he? I mean, when God speaks to Paul writing these epistles, he's direct. And he just says it. And he says, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts, having lost all sensitivity, and we'll come back to this because we see this today. And we see this in politics all the time, of people who've been in the job so long, they've lost all sensitivity. And pastors can too. And you, all of us, we're all ministers. And you can lose your sensitivity because you can get out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And it says the Gentiles, these people that just do whatever they want to do when they want to do it, they lose all sensitivity and they give themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. And he said, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and you were taught in him in accordance with the truth that's in Jesus. He said, you didn't learn to follow Christ by acting like everybody else in the world. He said, my whole teaching is about a different lifestyle, different attitude, different way of life. And you have to stay with it. Don't take it for granted. You know, this is an ongoing warfare. The short time we have on earth, we always have to keep looking forward and keep our eyes on Christ. And you can't let up. Not for one moment can you let up. That enemy is waiting for you. He wants to cut you off from the flock. I tell people who come kind of periodically to church, hey, you need to stay in this. You need to keep worshiping God. You don't come here for me or for somebody else. You come here for the Lord. He's taking care of you. You got to come and honor him. Stay in fellowship. So you don't want to start losing any sensitivity. And he said, I don't want you to get involved in any impurity and be full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learn when you heard about Christ and were taught in him. I know this is a little lengthy, and I'll read it, and then we'll narrow it down. And he said, that's not how you were taught according with the truth that's in Jesus. He said, Jesus didn't teach you to misbehave. And that's my paraphrase, but that's what he didn't teach you to misbehave. He didn't teach you to go out here and act like everybody else. Said he taught you to be radically different. Radically different. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off that old self. Your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And he said, you were taught what? To be made new in the attitude of your mind. So what's he saying? He said, you got to straighten out your attitude. You're not in it for you. You're not in it for your church. You're not in it for me. You're not in it for anybody. You're in it for Christ. That's all that matters. Too many people, by the way, there's a lot of Christians, too many Christians are in it for their pastors. They like to go to a big name church with a big name pastor, and they go to that place simply because the pastor. Is Christ there? The pastor is, and he's only an under shepherd, just like me, regardless of the size of the place, meaning the amount of people that come. We're all equal in the eyes of the Lord. We're just under shepherds. That's all we'll ever be. I do not get to graduate. I don't get promoted. I don't get any other position, no matter how. We could grow in this church right here, and there's people moving out this way, and growth is moving right to us, and we may be running 200, 300, 400, 500. Who knows? But I'll never be any more than an under shepherd. I won't get promoted, none of that, until I go up there, and that's when all the promotions take place. Time in service here doesn't give you promotion. It not on this earth. It does there. And so, you know, accept that. We're not in that kind of system. This is what every one of us that brings the word, we're under shepherds, and that's all we are and all we'll ever be. And we just strive to be the best under shepherds we can. Jesus is the great shepherd, and we just do our best to be everything we can and to help you be new in the attitude of your mind. That's what I'm here to do, is bring this word, preach it, but I mainly teach it, and do what? Coach you, help you, help you understand it, the practical part of it, so you can do what God wants you to do. And so he says, and to put on the new self, created to be like God. Did you get this? We miss this stuff. He said, I want you to put on your new self, and it's created to be like God. Not be God, but like him. In true righteousness and holiness. I don't know how many of his little kids used to go pull stuff out of the closet and dress up in your parents' clothes. Any of you ever do that? Yeah. Pull out the heels and the dresses and you want to be a big girl and you go put makeup on and it's smeared everywhere. And I never could wear my dad's boots. And I'd try to wear his boots. And I had to learn as a little boy, his boots are too big for me. And the day he died, they were still too big for me. I never could fill his shoes. But I wanted to try. And I wanted to put on what he wore. And however dad would stand, I would stand. And sometimes, you know, he'd stand and he had one hand when he was talking and he'd like this and he'd talk with the other and they'd look over and people would be smiling and I didn't realize it for a long time and they were smiling because there's little Tony. He was big Tony, I was little Tony. There's little Tony over there doing his hand like that. And I'm imitating my father. God is very pleased when we pull out our spiritual clothes and imitate him. When we put on and want to be, you know, his attitude and we want to stand there like him and imitate our Father. That's what we're here to do. He wants us doing that. He wants the world to see himself living in and through us. And so he wants you to take off this old stuff and put on the new. And he said, get your attitude right. Quit trying to live for yourself and quit trying to live for what other people think you ought to be and do and start living for who Christ says you're to be. Be who he put you here to be. And so that's what this whole passage is about. I'm not going to try to beat it to death here and keep you here forever, you know, hashing and rehashing. It's no point in it. So let me hit these bullet points, these points here, so we can just kind of look at the new you. And first of all, let's start off with this. You know, you cannot, we're just going to take and dissect this a minute, and we start off with this point. You cannot please God. Listen, you cannot please God living in the past. Everybody got that? You cannot please God living in the past. You can't please God by just keeping hold of your old self. When Jesus Christ comes into your heart, he's here to make you new. And by golly, we resist him sometimes to the nth degree. We don't really realize that's what we're doing. But he's allowing, listen to me, he's allowing things to happen in our lives that take away some things, cause us to have to give up some things we don't want to give up. Stuff like this. Stuff like whatever's happening to you. And he's saying, no, through this, I want you to give up your independence just momentarily. See, I've had to give up a lot of independence with this. I had to have help for a while there. I'm doing more honorary stuff now than I shouldn't do. But here's what happens. And it's what the things you learn through this. God's saying, I'm going to give you, I'm going to heal this arm. I know he is. I'm believing him for that completely. But in the meantime, what am I teaching you, Tony? And I don't know everything he's teaching, but I can tell you one thing he's teaching me. Giving up. Giving up your independence. And it's not to other people. Other people have had to help me. And it's giving up my independence to him. See, through things like this are allowed to happen to teach us that we're to give up ourselves to him and quit stomping around and saying, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to, you know how we are. No, mine, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You know, here I am, I'm going to tell the doctor this week, get this thing off me. And God is saying, I allowed it to be on there in the first place. First, you needed your shoulder fixed. But secondly, and more importantly, I needed you to realize that giving up yourself doesn't weaken you as a man. It strengthens you if you're giving yourself up to me. So I take away some of your independence, but I want it directed where you understand that I'm doing that, so you'll understand what giving yourself up is. Everybody with me? So things happen, and we get mad. We get upset. Why is this happening to me? Why is this shoulder hurt? Why do I have this thing? What is it? You know, I've got this thing they're treating with this or that. And God's saying, I'm teaching you to depend on me. I'm teaching you to give it up and quit fighting me. If this is all designed not to hurt you, but to make you into the person I put you here to be, and you've got to learn to yield yourself. What did Jesus say? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Well, that's easy to say. And we have to be taught how to do it, and God is a fantastic teacher. I still struggle putting on my britches this morning. I got hung up and couldn't get these things up on my right side because I couldn't reach back there. You ever sit on the end of the bed and try to scoot your britches up on yourself? It's like an old dog rubbing on a post or something, scratching himself. It finally worked, but I had to start laughing at myself thinking, you know, this is very humbling. I'm glad nobody in the church saw this. And it's all designed, and I realized, Tony, that's another thing God's trying to give us. Do you see it? He wants you to have a good sense of humor and quit taking everything so serious. How do you take yourself serious when you're just scratching like an old dog trying to get your pants on? You know, you just got to lighten up everything in life and say, you know, if I start the day out like this, it's probably going to be a good day. And it is a good day. It is a real good day. I'm going to try that more often. Maybe I'll show up more often around this place. I'm just, you see what he's saying? And he lets so much, he said, you just can't live in the past. It's just not pleasing to God. You can't be the past person. And guess what? We all have a tendency to drift into the past person when pressure's on, when tension's on. Let me ask you this question. What do you do? What's your fallback when things happen? Do you have to go back to cussing again? Having a temper fit? You get to drinking too much? You turn to some things you shouldn't turn to? What is it? What do you do? What is your fallback? That's supposed to be Christ, but if we're real honest with ourselves, and as human beings, we're fallible, we make mistakes. What's your fallback? What do you run to when the pressure's on? Is it Christ? Or being honest with yourself, is it ice cream? Is it pie? Cake? Yeah, I like lemon cake. I could just taste lemon cake. I just like a lemon flavored cake. I'm hungry for one. Anyway, what is it that you fall back to? And I have a real, I don't get it much, you know, we don't, nobody makes it much anymore, but I have this real, I just like homemade vanilla ice cream. I've never have been, you know, anybody said, you know, you want chocolate, you want this exotic vanilla. I just like vanilla. But homemade vanilla ice cream, isn't that good stuff? And if I could, I'd fall back on it, and I know it'd be a weakness. What do you fall back on instead of Christ? And he's saying, I want that to go. I want you to fall back on me. I want you to fall into this word. I want you to fall into prayer. I want you to fall into the moving of the Holy Spirit into your life. I want you to come to me and not be going to these earthly, worldly things that don't do you a bit of good. How many of you truly start eating when you're under stress? Over half of us. Okay. And after you do all that, do you feel better? Huh? What if you devoured the Spirit? What if you devoured the Word? I mean, you see, that's a new way of thinking. And please, no, not knock anybody. I mean, a lot of people eat under stress. It's just the way we do. And it's like, do you ever do that, Tony? Yeah, once in a while. Yeah. And I've got this thing, I don't know what you call them, but they're these little pretzel things with peanut butter inside of them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh yeah, okay. You like them too, do you? All right, you know, I'll bring you some one of these days. Yeah, yeah. I like those things, and I can just start chunking them down. Oh, yeah, speaking right to you, are you? Yeah, oh, good. we turn to things other than God. And when we think about it, I say all this here and we laugh together, but really seriously, why are we doing that instead of turning to Him? You want to know the reason? Really, really? Just practical? I can feel and touch and smell and taste those things, and it's just hard to smell and taste and touch God. I have to take Him by faith, and those I can hold in my hand, and my senses are at work, and I can eat them, and they taste good. And see, it's harder when you have to step over and go to God in faith, because you can't get the touch, the sensory input that you want. And it demands a great deal of faith and commitment. And that's why we take the easy route. You know, out there where I'm at, you can cut a little path. You know, we can come out and cut a little path through the brush. A new walking place, a new place to walk through the brush. And you know what I've noticed? The deer inevitably start taking that trail. It's the easiest path. You cut a trail for them. You know, we always think of the deer hiding in the woods, and they're looking for any easy path they can find. It's nature to follow the easy path, and that's often where the devil's lurking, right, in our spiritual world. And that's where all the booby traps are and everything else when you take the easy path. But in life, that's what our nature, our physical, earthly, carnal nature leads us to do, is to take the easy route, the easy path. And God says, no, I want you to come to me in faith when you can't feel me, sense me, taste me, touch me. And I want you to come to me and get in my word, and I will touch you through my Holy Spirit. But it takes faith and it takes commitment. Everybody with me? That's why it's so hard, and we don't want to take the hard path. But God is saying, I want you to be a new person and have a new attitude. Instead of going to these physical things that don't help you in the end but hurt you, I want you to be committed and go straight to Christ and His word. Give it thought. Give it thought. Think hard on it. That's what God's pushing us to do. Is just don't take the easy path all the time, because it's often a setup. The devil loves to wait for Christians to take the easy path. And he hits hard when he hits. You can hit him hard by turning to God. You know, today, this has been going on all of our lives. But what have we heard always? What do our kids hear? Here it is. You ready for this? Be your own person. Do your own thing. You do what you want to do. You don't have to let your parents dictate to you. That's what's been going on out here in the system for quite a while. You don't have to let your parents tell you what to do. You just be who you want to be. Did you know, where in the Bible is that found? In the Bible, in God's word, God says, no, you're not to be your own person. You're to be my own person. And that teaching, that philosophy out there, we've all been hit by it. No, make your own decision. Ladies, listen, young girls, you've been told, no, man, don't let anybody tell you what to do. You be your own person, make your own decisions, and on and on and on. And God says, no, you don't. You're like anybody else, male or female. You submit to me and you make decisions that I want you to make. You're not your own person. And we're in this culture and have been for a long time. You're not to be dominated. Yes, we are. We're to be dominated by the Holy Spirit of God. Our body is God's temple. It belongs to Him, and He has the right to dominate us. But He's not a cruel dictator, is He? As a matter of fact, God dominates by giving us a choice and saying, I want you to willingly accept me and follow me. I want you to willingly submit to me. And if you don't, I will not send you to hell. I won't punish you. But you'll be out of fellowship with me. You won't have the blessings that I could give. And I don't want to give. Is everybody with me here? Nobody. We all want to be our own person. We've been taught that. And yet God says, no. As long as you're that, you're subject to the enemy. He'll get you all the time. He'll keep you depressed. He'll beat you down. You're letting him in by your stubborn rebellion and listening to the philosophy of the world. But the theology of God, the scripture says, to what? Deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow him. And then, friends, you can't get away from it. That's where the power of Christianity is. We're not our own person. We're not here to be independent. We're here to be who Christ wants us to be. See, think about it. This has been going on so long. We've got so many young people out there. They don't know who they are. They can't find their identity. So that made it easy for the corrupt system that we've had out here to say, oh, you're the wrong sex. You need to change sex. You need to do this. You need to do that. We're dealing with people who just can't figure their way in life. And then you go in when what do you need a sex change? And you need to get a transgender deal. Why? Because you're confused? It's not that you're confused about your sex. You're just confused about who you are, where you're supposed to be. You need direction. Maybe your parents don't know who they are. But my Lord, the answer is not going out here and just change them into a different gender. Just change them into Christians. Introduce them to Christ and say he'll give you purpose, he'll give you direction. You'll find out who you are in Christ. Well, okay. This be your own person, go your own way. It's not in the Bible. Never has been. But be God's person and go God's way according to God's will. That's what's in the scripture. Let's move on so we can get you to lunch here pretty quick. I'm sure we'll want that cake. Well, let's look at this next point. The old you, you're just going to have to put off some things here. It's time for the old you. You must be. You've got to put it off. It's time to make that decision. I'm going to quit turning this alcohol. I'm going to turn this food. I'm going to stop throwing a fit. Wait a minute. There's better ways to handle this. How many of you get mad and throw a fit so everybody else will leave you alone? Oh, I see people looking at other people. Okay, that happens over here. That happens over here. Okay. People aren't volunteering, but the people beside them are volunteering them. You know, if we throw a big enough fit, everybody will leave us alone. Well, that's a good defensive tactic, but it doesn't help us to be who God wants us to be. I'm not picking on anybody. We all do these things. The old you, you're going to have to put it off. And what does that mean? Listen to this. Listen. You ready? The more you feed the old self, the more it'll be there to control you. Why do you keep feeding the old nature? Look, if you have a problem with sex, why are you watching pornographic stuff? Let's just say it. Why are you looking at magazines that don't do you any good? You don't have to pick up Sports Illustrated if you have a problem in those areas. I mean, you know, you pick up Outdoor Life, Field and Stream. Yeah, doesn't that do it for you? You get this age, it will. You don't have to be feeding the old self, and every time you do, you're giving the devil a foothold. So don't be feeding what you need to starve to death. The only way, listen to me, the only way you're ever going to defeat the old nature is to starve it. Don't feed it. A movie comes on, something pops up there, turn it over, get away from it. Don't feed it. You say, that's a lot of work. Yeah, Christianity is a lot more work than people let on. We're not saved by works, but it's work. And it takes a lot of effort and a lot of determination and will to really let God do what he wants to do. You don't just accept Christ and everything changes. You accept Christ and you begin to read his word and pray, and he shows you then what he wants changed and he wants submitted to him. And that's a lifetime of stuff. It's hard. So the old self, you're going to have to put it off. Don't let it control you. The old self, it's in the process. Listen, it's in the process of disintegration, and it's corrupted, and it wants to disintegrate you and destroy you. Don't let it. So next, let's put on the new you. You're going to have to put, the new you must be put on. What's the new you? Does anybody know? What's a new you in Christ? You're made new, it says, in the attitude of your mind. you start thinking different about life, about people. Why are you mad at people? Why are you cussing everybody on the freeway? Why are you doing that? Habit? The new you's got to be put on. You know what the new you is? It's a person that says, you know what? I want to put Jesus first in my life. And when I fail, I'll confess it and get right back on the track. Jesus comes first. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that you need, right, will be added to you. So the new you says, wait a minute, before I scream at that driver, I'm going to thank God that didn't hit me. That's the new you. Before I get mad at this politician, I'm going to thank God that there's not 20 of them just like them. Really. It starts looking and saying, it's not that I don't have to love them and that love their, I love them in Christ, but I have to love their works. But I need to look at it different. There's a guy that attacked someone I wanted to be appointed and lit a revolt against him, and it got pretty close, and the president of the Senate, which is the vice president, had to decide the vote. But this one guy who I was disappointed in led this thing against, and I just think, well, thank God there's not 20 of them just like him. Then we'd have lost the whole deal. It's close enough as it is. And so learn to look at life, and it's just with anybody. If somebody just upsets you and hurts you, why can't you thank God that they're the only one that did that today? Now, something else, and this takes a commitment to Christ, but think about this. Listen, now, wait a minute. I was confronted by the Holy Spirit to do this past week. And it was this. I kind of got jumped on, not by someone here, but someone else. And I got upset. I'm human. I didn't like it. And then God put in my heart, and only God could have done this, because I was kind of indignant about the whole thing. And it was this. Tony, are you willing? It just came into my head. Are you willing to be the one I choose to let them vent on rather than somebody else who could be taken down by it? I've toughened you over these years. This is not the first time that you've been jumped on. It won't be the last, but you're used to it. You're kind of hardened to it. What if it was someone else they took that venom out on who was not ready for it? Are you willing to be the one that I can put in there and let them vent on you instead of one of my other children who are weaker in the spirit? That's the new self that says, okay, take me. You see, where does that come into play? Is there a scripture for that? Oh, look at John 15. What did he say? No greater love can anyone show than to lay down their life for a friend. So are we willing to lay down our life and take some abuse, take the hit, let somebody vent on us to keep another Christian who's not that strong from being slammed? I wasn't there when it first happened, but the Lord had to bring me around and show me, I let this happen, Tony. Nothing happens that I don't let happen. But I chose you out and I put you there so you would take it instead of maybe some younger pastor, somebody else. These people are mad at me, not you. They just take it out on you. They can't get to me. And that's that surrender to Christ that He wants us to have. That's that new attitude. That's the new self. And I'm not going to tell you I'm perfect, because I'm not. If somebody were to do that again, I hope they don't. But if they do, will it bother me at first? Sure it will. But God has to get it. See, we think we just become totally immune. It's sure things are going to bother us right at the moment. But then God takes over. And that's what He's saying. Just let me take over. You're human. It's going to make you go. And then I'm going to take over and say, hadn't you rather it to be you than someone else? Aren't you willing to take the hit for a friend? Yeah. Yeah, I've got some pastor friends up there. Y'all know them. I'd rather, yeah, is that Tony? Would you rather take a hit than them? Yeah. Yeah, I don't want them hit. Okay, get over it. By the way, I'm going to give you that real, this is a real scriptural admonition, okay? This is a Tony translation of scripture. Get over it. Just get over it. It ain't worth it. Get over it. Give it to God. Just get over it. Let it go. They did it. They said it. Okay, I know it's bad. It hurt. I'm not making fun of it. You were betrayed. You were wounded. They talked about you behind your back. They slandered you. They hurt your reputation. God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Thus saith the Lord. Why don't you go the Lord's way and let him do it? Just get over it. Doesn't mean you have to let him do it to you again. Just get over it. Let God make you new in the attitude of your heart and your mind and your spirit. Let him continually renew you. Friend, commit yourself to it. Commit yourself to God every day. I want you to renew me. We're closing. You know what else he said? You were taught regard to your former way of life. Put this old self off, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, and to be made new. This is where we are in the attitude of your minds. And put on the new self, created to be like God. And this is the two things I want to close with. In true righteousness and holiness. What is that? You read the scripture, and we just read it, and we don't ask ourselves, what does that mean? And if God wants me to be a new person in Christ, and then I'm to be in true righteousness, what's true righteousness? God makes us righteous when we accept Jesus Christ. His blood cleanses us. And the blood of Jesus is our righteousness. Are we right? God gives us, I'm the righteousness of Christ. You are the righteousness of Christ. So what's he saying? I want you to have a new attitude here. It created to be like, you know, like God in true righteousness and holiness. So what is true righteousness? It means, that term in the Greek here means uprightness. I'm upright. I'm right with God. I walk right with God. I speak right with God. It means that I have God's righteousness in me, and I have an aversion to sin. I have an uprightness of heart. I'm right with God. God has made me right with himself through Christ, and he wants me every day to pray to him to stay that way. Is everybody with me? Don't let unrighteous thoughts, unrighteous attitudes, unrighteous words come out of your body. Everybody with me? What does Ephesians say? You know, if you read on, it says, don't let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Has everybody flunked that test this last week? Okay. You know, so I'll bring it up more Sundays now in a row. Okay, since we're flunking it so bad. We all laugh because isn't that a tough one? Don't you wish you'd have said, don't let any unwholesome word come out ever so often, or, you know, every now and then do some wholesome stuff. No, he just says, period, don't let it come out. That is a hard scripture to obey. Because we're just geared as people to let it rip, aren't we? Now, I know some of you don't do that. And some of you have husbands who never say a bad word. And some of you have wives who, you know, they just, everything is just praise the Lord, right? Oh, okay. But he's saying, I want you to be consistent. I want you to work at it. Everybody here that's been in the military knows that sometimes it's just really hard to not have unwholesome words. It's just, we're just kind of programmed, you know? It's just like, and I notice our Marine laughing pretty hard back there. Yeah, it just comes with the job, doesn't it? People don't even listen to you unless you... But he says, now, as Christians, I want you to let go of that stuff. And I've made you right. So stay right. That's the practical application. Ask God to help you stay right so that you're righteous. And when you blow it, ask God, Lord, when I mess it up, which I will, convict me on the spot and lead me to confess it and repent of it and get me right back to being right with you. Is everybody with me? You ready for me to close? I know you are. I am too. And he says, in righteousness and holiness. Holiness generally means set apart to God. But that word used here had a little different twist in the Greek. And you know what it meant? It meant God says, I want, you know, here in righteousness and holiness. And that word in the Greek here meant free from contamination. Close to the other, set apart for God. But this one says free from contamination. He said, I don't want you to be contaminated by the world. I don't want you to take on its attitudes. I don't want you to take on its actions, its dress, nothing. Just because others have to stick things in all parts of their bodies. You know, I'm not knocking this. I'm just saying this is me. I had a little problem with this. I was talking to a person and they were sharing something. It was important. But they had this black thing dangling out here. Do you know I couldn't hear their words? I just couldn't. Because it looked like something that shouldn't be there coming out of their nose. And I wanted to give them something to wipe their nose with. I mean, I just couldn't help it. And I kept trying to, how do you talk to somebody and there's this thing hanging down? Things aren't supposed to hang out of your nose. We're taught that as kids, blow your nose. Clean, you know, don't go out like that. Check your, I do that every Sunday. I do, in the mirror. And I think, Tony, don't go out with anything that shouldn't be there. You know? And yet, this black thing. And I don't know right now. I don't know what they told me. I can't recall that conversation. I was focusing so hard on that. You said, are you saying people shouldn't do it? No, I'm saying, do you realize how distracting it is? You're taking on the attitude of the world. But is that the attitude Christ wants you to have? You're dressing like the world. And that right there, and I would like to say to that person, I'm not the only one distracted by that. How many people do you think are not even getting who you are because they're focused on that? Is that right? They can't hear you. Friends, don't say or do or wear or whatever it is. You're conforming to Christ. Anything where people can't hear you. Where they can't see you. And you know, young people, not as much as they used to, but once in a while I'm going to say, well, how does God want me to dress in such a way that people see Him in you? I'm not going to tell you the length of your stuff and all that. It's not my place. But I'll tell you what, I will tell you what God wants me to tell you, and that is, whatever you do, do it in such a way that people can see Christ in you, your hope of glory, and they can hear you and not be distracted by these worldly things. So anyway, I guess I won't get one of those things because I don't want y'all up here and I'm trying to preach and going, hand him a handkerchief, do something for the man. Holiness, free from contamination. God, listen, God delivered you from your past life and your past sins. Does everybody here realize your sins are forgiven? You with me? You know it? The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. We good with that? Don't go back. And when you do slip into it, the Holy Spirit will convict you and you confess it and you get right back where you're supposed to be. Friends, listen, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it in abundance. Why don't you enjoy that abundant life? Why don't you really get on with it and have fun with it? Quit taking your things as serious. Don't take yourself. I've learned I can't take myself too serious. The things I have to do, just put clothes on. And you know what? It's been relieving for me. Once in a while, we guys that do this job get too uptight with ourselves. You know what we do? We try to be too perfect instead of being who God put us here to be. Then we get up on a pedestal and the fall is horrible. Please pray that God will never let me get on another pedestal. Okay? Because it hurts when you fall. Accept me as God's man that He put here, an under shepherd, but as a man. And pray for me every day, and I want to pray for you. And that's what we're supposed to do with each other, and that's this new attitude in Christ. Don't ever go back, ever. Don't go back to that old way, no matter how you're tempted. And I wrap it up with this. Your way of life in Christ is a radical new you in everything. And don't listen to what people say or the comments of your family or anybody else. You be radical. Not crazy. Radical. In your faith. In your love. In your hopes. In your dreams. In your vision that God gives you for your life. You go out here and be the radical new you. And do it the way God wants it done. And He'll bless you for it. Let's pray. God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the power of it. Thank you, Father, that we don't have to thrash around here trying to figure it out. It's right there. We know what you want. Forgive us when we fail to do what you want. Put us right back on the path. Keep us right. Keep us holy. Keep us going on that straight path that you want us to walk, but always with a sense of humor, that sense of purpose, that sense of faith and hope and love. Thank you, Father, for never quitting on us, never, ever, ever giving up on us. Well, help us not to give up on you or each other or ourselves. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's have the Lord's Supper together.